All right, Dr. David Caputo, President Emeritus of Pace University, and a retired Pace Professor of Political Science. Always great to have him. And we say a very good morning on this Friday. Sir, how are you?
I'm fine, Jay. How are you doing this day?
Fantastic. Getting ready for a good weekend, sir. So how would you sum up Joe Biden's trip overseas? I don't think it ended well, I'll tell you that much. I didn't like the snap of the reporter and everything else. A CNN reporter, no less. You know, that kind of showed me, and again, I'm not a psychologist, nor do I play one on the radio. But to me, you know, that was a defensive mechanism, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if we're going to see a lot out of this meeting with Vladimir Putin, but how would you sum it all up there as far as Geneva?
Well, I think you have to think of the summit as one of the three important things. The other two would be the G7 and then the NATO meeting. And I think it was very important for him to be at the NATO and G7 and also to advocate for the American viewpoint on some of the issues that are faced. So I would give him high marks there. I thought the summit was a bit anticlimactic. It was unclear, despite what the president said, exactly what he was trying to accomplish. I think the key to understanding the summit will be what the American response is the next time there is a cybersecurity attack, and it's determined that it's coming from Russia. And I think there, that will be the litmus test for how successful the summit was. President emphasized the need for personal diplomacy. He certainly did it. The non-exchange with the CNN reporter, I think, is understandable at the end of a long trip, something that clearly President should have avoided, could have avoided, did not avoid. But I don't think that distracts from the overall trip. So I think the key is what happens going forward and whether or not it's had any impact. And we won't know that for some time.
Well, you know, in all due respect, you know, I have to defend the reporter here, who's a CNN reporter, Caitlin Collins, who's not known for asking tough questions. But let's not forget that there is a pool of reporters selected by the White House at these press conferences to ask questions. So when you go off the cuff and this president doesn't have a prompter to read from and somebody asks him a question, well, how do you find it to say constructive as far as your meeting with Putin and for him to go off a little bit on, huh? You know, to me, that kind of says something there. Listen, it didn't sit well with me at all. You know, but
I can understand,
you know, again,
that.
The guy apologized. I get it, but you know, you kind of wonder if anything constructive. I kind of realized nothing constructive came out of that meeting. You just know it wasn't there. Would you have liked to have heard something? Sanctions, threats. I mean, and listen, we can't allow hacking. We've seen it in the elections. We've seen disruptions on the gas lines and everything else. We can't have this anymore. You know, the meet with the JBS, we can't have this anymore. You know, you need somebody who's going to be very strong to this guy. That's the bottom line.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I thought the other thing that was interesting was whoever chose that outside venue, given the heat and so forth, has to have some questions asked compared with the inside conference that Putin had. It was a world of difference. But I think the president, in terms of the week abroad and some of the side trips, especially the interaction with the Queen, I think did very well in terms of representing U.S. interests. But I also think that when you try to tally exactly what the positives are, I would give positives out of the message delivered to the G7 and the message delivered to NATO. But in terms of the summit itself, you have to wonder exactly what did the administration want. Now, perhaps some of the talks, especially on the nuclear safety treaty extension, will be significant, but I'm not sure you needed a summit to get to that point.
No question. David Caputo, whether that is important to have the alliance once again engaged, and that's when I kind of get out of the summit, UK Brussels, you know, I found that to be, you know, as far as the reconnection, which I think is important there. So I will give kudos to that. Now, Let's get to the Supreme Court with the dismissal of the challenge, of course, to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, for a third time yesterday, rejecting the latest argument to kill the more than decade-old health care law. So the justices ruled 7-2 that Republican-led states and a couple of individuals had no standing to bring their lawsuit in federal court. What did you get out of this? The one thing I got out of this was Amy Coney Barrett, because, you know, of all the back and forth with the hearings that happened last fall, and she stood strong here, and that showed me something. That's the thing I got out of this as far as Coney Barrett. I did not think it was going to go any other way. Listen, third time a charm, not the case. But in essence, what did you get out of this with this ruling?
Well, I think the court sent a very strong signal, and that is that they're, I think, somewhat tired of getting these types of cases. And I think that's the reason why they didn't decide the case on the merits. They decided the case on who had standing. And I think that gave the two new conservatives an out. In terms of being able to argue that there was not standing. To me, the interesting question is, what's the future hold? And are there going to be additional suits? There's a suit starting its way to the court, probably coming out of Texas. Whether or not this will help to deny that suit getting very far remains to be seen. But I do think it was a significant victory in the sense of upholding the law. And also, as President Obama commented after the decision, that this is indicative of the fact that the Affordable Care Act is going to be with us for a long time. And I think that adds some stability. I think it's an issue for the Republicans in the midterms. I don't think it's going to be a dominant issue. I think they probably will decide that they have other issues that they're going to stress much greater. So I think it was I was surprised. I thought 5-4 would be the likely outcome given the earlier decisions by the court. I thought Roberts would side. And so it was interesting that they were able to carry the two conservatives. So I think it's indicative of the fact that the American public and now the judiciary system through the court have really said that the law is with us, and I think it helps everyone going forward in terms of planning, plus the 20-plus million Americans that have coverage under various parts of it. In some respects, you could say as many as 30 million Americans are covered. So I think it was a significant day for the Affordable Care Act.
There will be more challenges, though, David, because I'm looking at a lawsuit that's brewing in Texas where you have a group of individuals and businesses arguing that the ACA provision requiring insurers to offer certain free preventative services is unlawful. I think you're going to see more of this stuff. Do you? Do you feel more is coming down the pike here?
I think there will be more. I think the issues, you know, whether or not they make it to the court, and if they, I think it would be difficult for the court, even in its current makeup, I think we'll not want to get involved in some of these policy questions. And so you might see a decision similar to yesterday in the case out of Texas, or you could see they could decide that's the case, but side with the plaintiffs in that case, but also not rule the entire act unconstitutional. So I think there's a lot of possibilities here and a lot of things that could happen. But I think the important point is the court had a chance and could have acted to deem it unconstitutional. And while they didn't hear the specifics of the case, they did in terms of standing. And I think they could make similar arguments for a lot of the other cases that may come forward. So I don't want to say that it's completely dead and gone. You never know, and you never say that in the political realm. But I think yesterday's decision was very important.
David Caputo with us. Now, we have seen a changing of the guard in Israel with Netanyahu out after 12 years. And I'm going to keep an eye on Iran today, David, because voters are heading to the polls there. Very controversial election that is all but guaranteed to deliver a hardline president after all the other serious contenders, I guess, were barred from the race. You have an uncontested front runner there, close associate, by the way, of the Ayatollah. And this individual, I think, lost an election a few years ago, has headed the country's judiciary for the last couple of years. What do you see out of this? If this guy Raisi is emerging now as the likely victor, you know, after the supervisory body actually barred his main rivals from the race. Very widely criticized move here. Very, very interesting what's happening over there.
Yeah, I think the key today is not so much the outcome. I think the outcome is well known. But the key is how many of the Iranian electorate are going to participate. Are they going to boycott the election? I think that's the interesting question to see as to what impact it's likely to have on Iranian policy. Granted, a hardliner close to the Ayatollah and so forth, but we just have to wait and see as to what's going to happen. Remember, Iran has to deal one way or another with the economic implications of the various sanctions that they've had imposed on them. So, and with their economy in shambles. So I think that will be the key. What are the domestic policies, and whether or not, if they feel they cannot solve the domestic policies, they ratchet up the international tensions. So I think that's very important. I think the other thing that's really significant for Biden at this point is coming back, and he's really at a critical point with the presidency, I think, in terms of what happens this summer over the next, I would say, 90 days, and with the various pieces of domestic legislation. I think some are already gone that he's not going to have a chance to get. I think there's a possibility of some movement on others. But the key is I think he has to have a significant legislative victory during the coming months or his popularity, I think, will begin to erode. You also have the problem that he has as this goes on with the progressive wing of the party getting, I think, increasingly impatient in terms of the administration not taking some steps that it could take to perhaps advance some of the more progressive agenda.
Interesting. Really very interesting as far as, especially when it comes to the Ayatollah, because we know he is the final word as far as what goes down there. So a lot of events that have been going on. David Caputo with us. I read something regarding China where you had the COVID outbreak. A shipping region, very powerful region. And I'm looking at, you know, the holiday end of things, shopping, you know, we're still out, but it could have some sort of an effect there where a shutdown and backlog and containers and vessels and everything else. And it's something to kind of keep an eye on. We're obviously 5-6 months out, but what's happening right now in China as far as a very powerful shipping region. I'm keeping an eye on that as far as the coronavirus outbreak there, David.
Yeah, I think that is important. It shows the how intertwined various economies are and how we are still subject, despite, I think, the feeling in the United States among most Americans is they want to move on from COVID. And we're going to have these outbreaks around the world and perhaps in the United States as we go forward. And I think for most Americans, here we are just the beginning of the summer. And I think for most Americans, they really want to move beyond any kind of conflict and concerns, put the COVID behind them, even if it's just for a short period of time, and get back to a life that they feel they've not had for the last 18 months. So I think it's going to be difficult to galvanize public opinion on any specific issue at this point. That could change. But I think the Chinese situation in terms of Guangzhou province, and the Chinese have reacted very aggressively in terms of trying to control the outbreak there. But what impact it may have on shipping really remains to be seen. And as you say, it's likely to be in the 4 to 6 to 8 month impact in terms of whether or not they can get the ships out and the cargoes out and so forth. Enough time that there may be a way to work out alternatives. But I think for most Americans, that is something far distant. I think the other thing that could impact President Biden and his move on domestic legislation is what's going to happen with the variants Are they really as dangerous as some people are implying, or are the current vaccines, at least the three that are most widely used in the United States, all the evidence appears to indicate that, in fact, they are very susceptible to treatment and to prevention by the vaccines. So I think that's important. If that continues, that will help. I think there are also a number of issues that are out there, which we really haven't talked much about in the press, and that is, you know, what's going to happen to the as Cy Vance leaves office, will there be any indictments during the summer in terms of his investigations, and what happens when the new district attorney assumes office? You've got the New York City mayor's race. You have a variety of things going on. And then the one thing that I think is most interesting, and which I think everyone, I don't want to say forgotten about, but which hasn't appeared lately, is what's going on with the Governor Cuomo investigation and report due back to the Attorney General. So lots could happen during the summer. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, you know, you're taking the words out of my mouth here to finish it up with you. And that is, you know, you got a very highly contested race in New York City for the mayor's post. Eric Adams is in the lead. You know, the crime numbers, we went over them this morning. They're up. We know they're up. And they're up on the Long Island area, too, which troubles me. So with that being said, in your estimation, because, you know, very dangerous, in my opinion, Maya Wiley is gaining ground here. Is Eric Adams, in your eyes, in your mind right now, is he going to take the spot with the Democrats to lead the way to November? Where are we at with this? What do you think happens in this primary on Tuesday?
I think it's very, very interesting to watch this. You've got a number of candidates, and you've got a number of candidates who are splitting perhaps a more moderate vote, which may open a possibility for Wiley to do well. But again, we don't know what the impact of the ranked voting is going to do, how that's going to play out in terms of, clearly, I don't think there's any doubt that none will win on the first ballot. So then they'll be counting the second choices and dropping candidates out. It would not surprise me if they went to the third or fourth choice before they're able to determine who the winner is. And again, I think the key will be, what will the turnout be like? Especially the turnout among the more moderate and the more progressive voters. So it's a fascinating race to watch, and it does appear that whoever wins it is going to start off with maybe 25% to 30% of first choice rank, and you know, that raises some interesting questions in terms of their ability to govern. So you have an interesting mix of candidates, from people who have been running for this race, preparing to run for this race for some time, Scott Stringer, Adams, and others. And I think it'll be very significant, especially given the challenge of some of the newcomers. And Wiley is one. Yang appears to have peaked early and hurtled downwards. But you never know with this ranked voting first time through. And the other interesting question is, the Board of Elections going to be able to do a count quickly, or are we talking about weeks before we know the outcome of the election?
I'll tell you, keep an eye on Kevin Garcia right now. That's one to watch. I'm not surprised about Yang. And as far as Wiley, you know, listen, you know, we all know about AOC and the effect. And she gave a huge endorsement to Maya Wiley. And that's why you've got steam now on her side. And listen, say what you want about Ocasio-Cortez, the voice still looms large, and that's what's happening here as far as a surge in the camp of Maya Wiley. And we all know it's a dangerous situation if she gets in, because she is a derivative of the current guy. And in my estimation, you cannot have Maya Wiley anywhere near Gracie Manchin. Done and done. Because that will truly be the end of New York City, in my opinion. Truly be the end of it. And that's it. Put a fork in it. If Maya Wiley ever gets in. Yeah.
Well, I think the city shows great resiliency. It survived other difficult mayorships and so forth. But I think the important question here in this election is going to be the relative turnout between the moderate voters, the Democratic Party, and the progressive end. And, you know, remember, the progressives have done well when they've had a well-confined and a well-defined geographic district. Now that you have the entire city voting in this primary and not just a congressional district or just not a borough, I think that the key is going to be that turnout among the various groups. And I would not rule out Scott Stringer if we get down to the third or fourth choices. So you just, you know, it's hard to imagine. And polling has been very inconsistent. And most of the campaigns have, when they've leaked their internal polling, it's always been to their advantage. So we just have to wait and see exactly what happens there. But clearly, this is a very important election for the city, and turnout will be the key.
Well, I don't give Stringer much of a chance. Now, you want to tell me the latest regarding allegations of harassment have played a role into this? Possibly. But I never gave him anything from the get-go. He hasn't really done anything. I've seen some of the debates that he's been present at. He has not impressed me at all. So very interesting couple of days ahead. The big thing is there a waiting period, as you said? I hope not. Now, last thing on my agenda is Governor Cuomo. Now, you know, the session ends and everything else. Wasn't happy with some of the things going down there at the 11th hour. They're still discussing the Parole Reform Act. That has been very contentious, as we all know. He has done the victory tour in the last week. He's been all over the place, 100% capacity in the openings and everything else. But where in the heck are these investigations going, I wonder? A very prominent individual who I had on, a state senator who I respect in a very big way, Phil Boyle, has stated to us on the airwaves that he believes Cuomo will walk away. I don't think that way. I think he stays. I don't think he runs for term number four. But outside of some subpoenas regarding the book and the nursing homes, we haven't seen a lot of movement. So I am just wondering, is there an avalanche effect here that will be coming in the next few weeks? I would have to think so. Although I am not very confident as far as what I'm seeing up there in the likes of Carl Hastie and company. What do you think, sir?
Well, I think the there may have been a decision to slow down or to not release publicly some of the investigatory results to the primary, to the city primary was over. So I really don't know. I think it's a very interesting situation. I happen to think that if the governor decides that he's going to stay, if possible, I think he will run, because I think he really feels quite strongly, personally, in terms of the additional term and what it means to him personally. So it will be very interesting to watch it, and the timing of it will be such that, you know, I think certainly the voters and the residents of New York State, are very interested in this. But the deeper it goes into the summer, I think the less of a jarring story it's likely to be. So we just have to wait and see again. Again, timing is everything, and also the content of whatever the reports have to say. So and what happens with the other investigations. So the governor is certainly position has been very clear, and that is, I'm governor, I'm going to govern. And I'm going to be as visible as possible to show that, in fact, I can still govern. So it would be interesting to watch this as it unfolds, because clearly it has national implications. It has implications for the Democratic Party as they prepare for the midterms. And that's really where I think a lot of the summer is going to be, both in terms of the legislative agenda in Congress, is going to be the fight for the midterms. And I think the key, it will be, will there be an infrastructure bill? What's going to happen with budget negotiations? And the other key is the voting rights legislation. I think the Floyd legislation is likely to be dead at this point. unless we have a series of incidents during the summer, which let's hope we don't have, could revive that. But I think the president now has to make some very hard decisions in terms of the infrastructure and in terms of voting rights. And here he's going to have to decide, do they decide to try to change any of the filibuster rules or whatnot in the face of the fact that the Republicans in the Senate under McConnell's leadership have shown great unity, and they're not going to get the numbers that they need. They're not going to get to 60 to break the traditional rules. So do they either impose other rules or do away with the filibuster short term? So it's a series of very important decisions, and the president has a lot on his table right now in terms of deciding.
The thing I'll say about Cuomo, David, I don't think he's going to be able to skirt these charges regarding the nursing homes and the 15,000 deaths. Listen, how disingenuous with this book, but how prevailing it could be as far as investigative, getting content out of this book and using it against this governor as far as is concerned regarding the nursing home scandal. So interesting how you feel that he could run again, but I don't see how he does if you have very serious criminality going against him regarding this. You know, that's my only contention with you on this. I don't see how he avoids it. I really don't.
Yeah, I agree on that. Criminality, if criminality rises to the point that there are indictments and so forth, then I think clearly he's not able to run, nor do I think will he be able to serve out the term.
Sir, always great talking with you. You know that. Until next time, we look forward to it. And you stay well now. How's that?
Yes, enjoy the summer. It's upon us.
It is upon us. There is without question. The great Dr. David Caputo. Ladies and gentlemen, always great to get his incredible insight on things. President Emeritus of Pace, of course, and retired Pace professor extraordinaire of political science.